model.
Yeah. So we also have Vignesh, who couldn't be with us here today. But yeah, he's also part of the speakers. So a quick overview of what we'll be covering today. I can kind of segregate this into three parts mainly. First, I'll talk about how and why we need to pack firmware in today's world. Then we'll go into an introduction about Binman, which is a firmware packing tool that we use, and how we'll finally extend that to using Binman to pack firmware for our TI-K3 set of devices. So a quick overview for U-Boot. I'm not sure how many of you guys actively work on U-Boot, so I'll go through it very quickly. So U-Boot is an open source universal bootloader. It's extremely popular because of its rich stack of driver support and the fact that it's very tightly coupled with the Linux kernel, especially in terms of development, which you can see here. We use the device tree just like the Linux kernel, so U-Boot also uses the device tree, where you can basically describe your hardware in a tree format. And this will come handy later on when we are talking about the firmware packing tool. So let's get into the meat of the discussion. So why do we need to pack firmware? So if you look at the diagram over here, it's pretty simple. You can just make a couple of binaries that you need, right, back in the old day, and then set the location of the environment and just flash it. It's pretty simple. It can't get simpler than that. And what about a few years later when you have stuff like SPL, which is your secondary program loader, and your TPL, tertiary program loader? They're basically used for initializing the DDR or your RAM in the beginning, setting up a few stuff initially as part of your boot. And then what happens when you increase the number of binaries that you have? And we also have stuff like ATF, your ARM trusted firmware. And what if you have FPGA firmware also? So now things start piling up. It's starting to get complicated. An example of a modern system bootloader would be the x86 architecture over here. So as you can see, we have some proprietary firmware. You have your FSP packages. And then you have a TPL inside your IFWI package, which basically starts up your SPL, your secondary program loader, which again finally boots up to your U-boot image. So what I'm getting at is it's starting to get a little bit more complicated over here. This is a typical ARM64 boot flow. So you start with your ROM. Your ROM boots up your U-boot SPL. SPL does all the basic initialization. And then it starts up your EL3 runtime service. It could be your ARM trusted firmware. And then that in hand starts up your Opti. And finally, it goes to the main U-boot image, which finally loads your Linux kernel. This is a very typical boot flow. This is what you see commonly. But it's talking about one core, right? When you think about it, you're talking about one core. But that's not the case with chips today. So what if you have multi-core systems? So an example would be the Texas Instruments K3 architecture of devices. And here we have two cores running. So you have your 32-bit R5 core and your 64-bit A72 core. Now in this case, we'll need two sets of SPLs, right, to get it going. So as you can see, I've inserted two SPLs in the boot flow, and your R5 SPL will run first, do the initial stuff, and then it'll jump to ATF, again to Opti, and then your U-boot SPL for your A72 core comes up, and then finally you boot to Linux. So this is how it looks like. Now in this presentation, in the interest of time, I'll be talking about the A72 bootloader mainly, not the R5. So that's what I'll be talking about. So what do we need for the A72 bootloader? You'll need your ATF, you'll need your Opti binary, and you'll need DM firmware. DM is device management firmware. It's kind of like a TI version of ARM SEP. And then you'll have your SPL binary, and then your final, your device tree blob, right? So let's say I want to make this position agnostic, my final bootloader. So I can just append a or prepend the fit header at the top so that the entire image is basically position agnostic. So that's what I've done over here. And what about security? You obviously need security. So you have your X509 certificate appended to the top of each of your binary blobs. So basically it's signed. All of the blobs inside are signed. And this is what our final A72 bootloader binary looks like. So as you can see, it's not very simple. I mean, you can run it through a simple shell script and get your final output, but it wouldn't be, it's not really the standard, right? This is how we used to go about generating our final binary. So you can see I have uBoot. You basically give all the inputs. You give your Opti, your device manager firmware, your ATF, and uBoot has custom scripts, a bunch of long shell scripts that used to, tie up everything, sign everything, stitch it up into a final image. So this is what we used to go through. But in cases of higher security devices, you'll need to have a core SecDev K3, which is an external TI-maintained repository. And this is how we used to sign the images a few months back. Obviously, there's a lot of issues with doing this. One is maintaining and scaling. It's a non-standard flow. It's for example, let's say we already have more than 4 boot flows at present, and extending it to all the boot flows, where the binary will have to change, it gets difficult. Packaging gets difficult. And this is not the standard. It's not distro friendly. And there's no unit level testing. They're just shell scripts. You don't really, if it works, it works. There's no test coverage there, right? So these are the issues with the custom scripts. And this is a small snippet of the shell script that we used to use. So you can see, unless I showed you the final image, what it used to look like, I don't think you can gather much from this, this script. And you can see the highlighted ones are pointing to external scripts. So you have scripts within scripts, and it's just a mess to get to know what your final image looks like. So, yeah.
Thank you. So just a little talk about Binman, why I started writing this tool. It was a while ago now. Packaging is actually much harder than we think, and you can see an example of that there. Some other things that go on are there are SoC-specific tools that need to run, and as mentioned before, there's different phases of the boot, and the image needs to contain code for all of those. It's also nice to be able to see what's actually in the image. And so this Binman tool lets you look at an image and list it out. So the image is described as data. So rather than shell scripts or code or whatever, you describe the structure of the image in a simple data format. This image has uBoot and it has SPL. It has a size of 1 megabyte and it has some pad bytes. So that's basically how you start. Binman normally runs as part of the uBoot build, so it's the final step after all the inputs have been created. You run it runs Buildman, Binman, and produces a final image. But the nice thing is you can then use all those inputs and run it again separately, maybe in a signing server or in some other step in production. So Binman also deals with missing blobs. It deals with tools that need to run and so on. And it can produce an image even telling you that this image won't work, but at least you're able to validate that you could get that far. Binman consists of, it works with a list of entries. Entries have a different type that you've seen, the uBoot ones and the SPL ones, but there's loads of other ones as well. And they're just packed one after the other. They normally can't overlap, but it is possible in extreme cases if you want to do that. Binman's written in Python. There's an entry base class. You then have a entry blob subclass of that, if you like. You can see that in the middle of the screen. And you can sort of extend it from there. So a blob is just basically an entry that has a blob of data in it. But you can make arbitrarily complex things that involve, you know, producing signatures and that sort of thing, and it's fairly easy to do that. To add an entry type, you basically put a new Python file in the right directory and give it a class name, and off you go. I mentioned you can run command line tools. It's actually possible to list out the tools that are available. If you don't have one, you can do binman tool -f to fetch it, and it will go and build it from source or find it in a binary or whatever it has to do to get the tools. So you don't have to go and hunt around for 3 days trying to find vendor tools. The code has a lot of comments. It has 100% test coverage. So it's very, very strongly designed to be reliable. And that's it from me.
Yeah, so now you've seen how what binman is, and the rest of the presentation is going to show you how we migrated from what it used to be with shell scripts to using binman. So this is what the final flow looked like. There's no external repository, there's no custom scripts. It's just a binman device tree file that we've plumbed in along with the other inputs. So this is what it finally looked like. So as you can see, just like the image on the right, which is our target image, so you have a fit node within which each of the individual binary blobs that have to go in. So your ATF, your OPTI, your DM, all of them are kind of packed in nicely. And you can see that TI secure is an entry type that we've created to actually generate the X509 certificate that has to go on top. So it's being passed the contents, so the binary that it has to sign, which is in this case the ATF binary, and the key with which it has to sign the binary. So it's all nicely packed in, and now you have a somewhat visual representation of what's going on, and you can manipulate it easily. And yeah, since I didn't get space, so this is the remaining of the two blobs that have to go in. So you can see there's a few things that you can notice from here. So one is, yeah, there's a custom entry type that we've defined, and along with which there are standard entry types that we've used. For example, OPTI and ATF, they're ARM standard, so you can have the standard entry types defined as well, and it's already there in the binman folder. And at the same time, let's say you want to reuse the same device tree for building many different boards, and let's say each of the board is using a different address to load your ATF. And that's also easy to plumb into the binman flow because it evaluates config options. So according to your build, your config will change. And yeah. So to kind of finish off, we'll just quickly go through what the Python class looks like for TI Secure for the X509 certificate. So you have the special method of Python in the beginning, so that's just there. And this would do the reading of the node. So you can use your FDT tools to go and grab the properties that you've mentioned in your device tree. And you can even add your own properties. That's also possible. So for example, SHA is a property that we are going and grabbing. By default, it's 512 if you haven't mentioned it. If you want to change the SHA value, you can give that property in the binman node itself. And then this would be the method that is kind of important, which is actually setting the contents of your entry. So in my case, I've defined a get certificate function that actually goes and runs OpenSSL on the binary that you've fetched and put that in the entry. So obtain contents is what is doing that. And in the case of, for example, you have a uboot SPL which contains the symbol to your uboot image that you want to jump to. So there's cases where you'll be writing symbols, so your final image would change. So process contents runs at the end of your build, so that it'll go and update your binary, essentially, in your final image. And here's another last method that was used, which OpenSSL is already a binman tool, so it's already present there. And like Simon mentioned, all CLI tools, you can easily port to be run within BinMan itself. So here you're just adding the OpenSSL tool since we'll be using it. Now, we're kind of towards the end of the talk. Some of the developments that are ongoing is, for example, the BinMan DT node is not part of the device tree specification as of now, but Simon has been working on it, and that's an ongoing work. Then the ability to pass custom firmware via the CLI argument. For example, let's say I want to pass the DM firmware argument as an actual CLI argument instead of hard-coding it in the BinMan DTSI. That's not supported as of now without making changes to the original uboot makefile. So, yeah, that's also something that is in the works. And finally, the X509 template that is used to generate the final certificate, that's in some ways kind of hard-coded right now, even though it's a very standard tool that should be generated on the fly. So that is also something that's ongoing. Now, there's a bunch of U-boot boards that still use custom scripts today, and they can all be ported towards using BinMan, which is the final aim of this presentation, to get everyone to finally port and use BinMan as the standard. So some of the references I've used, mainly the U-boot documentation, Simon's talk at OSFC, and my colleague Brian's bootloader presentation as well. And you can also see the patch series that was used to port the entire K3 devices to using BinMan. Yeah, lastly, I would like to credit the FOSTEM organizers and Texas Instruments and the U-boot community that has actively been working on BinMan. So, yeah, now we are open for questions.
So we have 8 minutes for questions, so it's quite a lot too.
That's not really.
How does BinMan relate to the very interesting make image tool? It also implements a bunch of file formats for different purposes. Are you able to convert everything into BinMan modules, or do you want to carry piggyback on top of make image so it uses some outputs? What is the plan?
Do you want to?
Sure. Ben? So the question is, how does BinMan relate to MakeImage, the MakeImage tool? The BinMan calls the MakeImage tool. BinMan can produce FIT images, as you probably saw. You simply just write FIT in there and you get one. So it's a lot more convenient. MakeImage has the SOC-specific stuff. There's no plan to, you know, rip all that C code out and write it in Python and BinMan. It's simply MakeImage is sort of one of the tools, if you like, that BinMan uses.
So do you have already, or do you come to add support to maybe recursively signed images? So have a use case where you have a signed image inside a signed image?
Oh, it's actually already part of the R5 bootloader, which is a little bit more complicated, which is why we didn't cover that. Oh, the question was if you can kind of recursively sign the images, so a signed image within a signed image, and you can do that, which is a part of the R5 bootloader. We'll be sharing the slides so you can have the R5 view as well, so that it'll cover that, yeah.
I just mentioned,
yeah.
The images are actually hierarchical. So if you want something, you put it here. If you want the data that goes into that, you put inside it, and you can just keep going, right? So that's one of the nice things. I think it's the, I can't remember what it's called, MESA or something, that uses signed within signed, and it's simply a case of putting it in the description, mm-hmm. as Nia said.
I think you're talking about changing the key once the image is.
Yeah, if you sign it later outside of
it. Yeah, that is also possible. Yeah. You want to take that?
I don't know much more about that, but yes, you can. So the public key has to go in a prior stage, but because you're producing a cohesive firmware image, right? Where all the phases are essentially have to be there, then yeah, Binman can stuff the key from one into that's used in the next phase into the prior stage firmware, and that's obviously necessary.
Yeah, so if you look at the DM firmware right now, that's an external blob. Oh, the question is... So you have to mention the blobs that you... So the question is whether we can include external binary blobs into the final image and whether we can use scripts to generate an image and then, you know, port that into the final Binman-made image. So the first one is, yeah, you can reference external blobs like I've done here. So DM is a blob that's not... in the flow, so it'll go and pick that up as an external binary. And in terms of scripts, so U-boot does the first build, and then basically you can mention the binaries that are dependent that have to be created before Binman can